If you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 28. I'm going back to one of my favorite stories in the Scripture. Genesis chapter 28. And I want to remind us of some things as this house, as Bethel in Defiance, Ohio. While you're turning there, I'll tell you too, I got to go down to see Steve Backlund this week. He was down in Columbus, well, actually Pickerington, south of Columbus. The church that some of you are familiar with, our relationship with Zion Christian Fellowship in Powell, well, they now have two campuses. They have a campus in Pickerington. And this is a 10,000 square foot building. We have 9 furnaces. I don't know whether you realize that this building's as big as it is. Some people are like surprised when they go and see there's more. They were given, get this now, they were given a 24,000 square foot building that was a church that decided nothing was happening with what they were doing, and they gave it to Zion. Now Zion has 2 campuses. So I went down to the Pickerington campus. Beautiful what they've done to it, and it's a wonderful location. So we went down there and heard Steve Backlund, and just got to hug one of my Reading buddies, and it was just all good. So are you in Genesis chapter 28? All right, let's look at Genesis 28, 10 through 19. Verse 10, now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones at that place and put it at his head, my pillow. Did you ever wonder about that when you read that? He laid his head on a stone. Sounds hard. Anyway, he laid down in that place to sleep. And then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there were angels of God descending and ascending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. I just want to stop right there and think about that, dust of the earth. That's a metaphor, I know, but man, that's a lot of descendants. That's a lot. You realize you're a descendant, right? You get to be a descendant because you've been grafted in. You're part of that family now because of what Jesus did. Also, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south, and in you and your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. And then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place. No, surely he's in the back right now with Lisa. No, never mind. I didn't even know his name was Shirley. No, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of the place Bethel. I decided this morning I might just want to remind us, you know, it's just been a couple of years that this church has been called Bethel. And I think we all know why we're Bethel, but I'm just thinking it'd be good for us to be reminded of a couple of things today about it so that we're still ready to continue the direction that God is directing us in this name change and in the things that God's doing in this house. So, like I said, this is one of my favorite passages. And one of the amazing things that this passage reminds me about is, well, it reminds me about me. Because I can be like this. Maybe you can too, and I'm willing to bet you are a little bit. And I have this experience once in a while, and I'll bet you experience the same thing. My experience is that sometimes I realize the Lord is more present than I was realizing. Like sometimes I'm not paying any attention, and all of a sudden God shows up. Was God not there before? Of course he was there before. But yet, I didn't realize God was there before. This is one of those things that's really been on my mind for several years now. I'm trying to figure out, you know, like theologically, he will never leave me or forsake me. We're going to even talk about that in a minute. But it's like, okay, But then sometimes he just shows up. Except for he didn't just show up because he was already there. But it was me who wasn't there. I mean, I was there, but I wasn't there. And then all of a sudden, I somehow get there. Is this making sense to anybody but me? Sometimes I just miss God. And sometimes I half hit. You know, I kind of get it and I kind of don't. I know God's up to something and I'm trying to get on board with it, but I'm not seeing things quite right. I know a lot of you have had this experience, but it's not just us that have had this experience. It's actually seen in other places in the Bible. Let me just read one to you. If you want to read along, it's in Exodus chapter 17. And I'm going to start with verse 1. And we kind of see a similar thing happening. Then all the congregation of the children of Israel set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore, the people contended with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Lord?" And the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children in this land and our livestock with thirst?" And Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Go before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel. Also take in your hand the rod with which you struck the river and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock of Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and the water will come out of it that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. So he called the name of the place Massah or Meribah because of the contention of the children of Israel, because they tempted the Lord, saying, "Is God among us or not?" Think about this in a sense. This is a really not good thing the way it says it, is it? They tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" What he's saying is it's a little insulting to say to God, "You're not with me," when God is with you. Now, I don't think God's insulted when you say, "I'm not that with it, God." But I do think that God gets a little bit concerned when we try to say he's not doing what he said he would do. After all that God did for the children of Israel, how could they say this? And yet, after all the things that he's done for me, how can I sometimes say this? Or maybe I don't say it, but I just act like it. You know what I'm saying? As I said a couple of minutes ago, I feel like sometimes I'm a little hit and miss when it comes to things that the Lord is doing. Yeah. Let me just ask this. Are you guys still getting it? I'm not getting as many, but are you guys still getting random cell phone calls from companies that want to sell you stuff or solve your problem with your, you know, what's that?
Insurance.
Well, and they want to do warranties, and some of them want to pay off my student loans, and I don't have any student loans, and you know those kind of phone calls, the robocalls. I was getting a lot of them, but I'm not getting as many of them now. And I've told you what I've been doing. I got a phone call a while back from a lady named Diane. And Diane wanted to know if I needed an extended warranty for my minivan. And when she asked me, I said, "Well, I don't know." And she goes, "Hold," and clicked me over to somebody else. Actually, it was the other way around. There was a guy asked me if I wanted, and then he clicked me to Diane. Yeah, I got to get this straight in my head. So Diane comes on, and she asked me about the extended warranty, and I've shared this before. Some of you may remember this. I said, I don't know, but I do have a question for you. And she goes, "What's that?" I said, "Do you have pain in your right shoulder?" How did I know that? I don't know. I just asked. I just, you know, I guess I was, you know, trying to walk in the Spirit. And, you know, I figure if I ask and she says no, what's she going to come hunt me down in Defiance, Ohio and smack me in the head? I mean, it wasn't any dangerous. I said, you got pain in your right shoulder? And she goes, well, actually, I do. I have a, you know, problem with my radial plexus. So you know how when they call you, they'll just start talking to you sometimes? And they have this script that they're doing, and they just talk, and they don't really pay any attention to you. I had it happen just yesterday, by the way. A guy called me from one of the, I'm representing the Fraternal Order of Police, and I said, are you a policeman, sir? And he kept talking. I said, are you a policeman, sir? And he kept talking. I said, are you a policeman, sir? And he goes, well, no, sir, I am not. I said, okay, I'd rather talk to an actual policeman about this. Thank you. So, you know, but I didn't have time that day to get into it with him. I should have probably tried to get something. But I said, all right, you know, is your shoulder hurting? She said, yes. She told me what it was. And I said, okay. And I just launched into praying. I just started praying for her. What's she going to do? But she didn't right away. And then I said, how's your shoulder feeling? Is it any better? And she goes, well, well, thank you very much, sir. Goodbye. And then she hung up. And I wondered, did I miss it? I mean, I hit it because I had her right shoulder was hurting. But then I prayed, and then I don't know whether, what do you think could have happened? Anybody got any idea what might have happened? What's that? She might have gotten healed and been completely just like freaked out about it, not know what to do. What else could, she's in a call center. What else could have happened? The boss came up. Somebody was listening in on the call with her. Maybe she was in training. Who knows? I may have put her on the spot, but I mean, I'm sure the boss said, well, that guy was a nut. And then you know what I think they did? Because I never got another call about warranties on my van. Check that guy off. I got, you know, they tell you if you want put on the do not call list, press a button, but it never works. Have you tried that? But I have found out when I talk to them and pray with them and try to share Jesus with them, I get put on their do not call list. I'm just saying we have a glorious opportunity. Who knows how many people could get healed if we all did this? And at least one thing, you'd get healed because you wouldn't get any more of the robocalls, right? It's a glorious opportunity. So I think, yeah, maybe her supervisor came up. She was kind of like, I'm supposed to be doing this. This guy's praying for me. My shoulder's feeling different. I don't know what to do. And she just hung up on me. Here's the most important thing. I can sit back after that call and I can analyze the stuffings out of it. But what I can't do is wonder whether or not he's with me. Because he's with me. He's with me. What did he say? I quoted a little bit earlier, Hebrews 13:5. I will never leave you or forsake you. When the disciples heard that Jesus was leaving, he told them, he says, I'm leaving. But then a few seconds later, he goes, but I will not leave you without a helper. I will send the Holy Spirit. And I will be with you through the Holy Spirit. See, that's what we have the honor of carrying. We have the honor of carrying the presence of God because we are a house of God. So, his presence is not optional. Say it with me. Let me say it and then you repeat it. Let's try it that way. His presence with me is not optional. Yeah, it's not optional. My awareness might be optional, but his presence is not optional. He's with me. He said he'd never leave me or forsake me. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, it says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. I am a Bethel. I am a house of God. God lives inside of me. He dwells in my existence. He goes around with me. Say, just in your body? I don't even understand me enough to tell you how that even works. I really don't understand me enough to understand how that works. Have you ever sold something to somebody and then wished you hadn't done it? Anybody do that? Yeah? Why didn't you just go take it back? Because you sold it, right? When you sold it, you can't just go take it back. You were bought with a price. You've been sold. And I hope you're sold out to God. And sometimes we just have to remember that. We just have to, okay, I don't know how this is all going to work out. I don't know how this is all going to turn out. I don't know what this is all going to look like. But I'm yours, Lord. Fill me up again. See, this kind of goes with last week's message a little bit. If you change your mind, well, that's too bad. Because it's already done. It's a done deal. It's a done deal. You're his. So God has changed your house into his temple, his dwelling place. You're no longer your house. You're his house. So what am I doing with his house? How many of you watch HGTV at all? A few of you are unwilling to admit it. All right, that's okay. I watch it. House Hunters International. I don't relate. I'm not much for the House Hunters show, but I like the House Hunters renovation show where they get a house and then they have to fix it up. Because I like to see what people do. It's just like, that looks so much better. Of course, you know, it looks really good as long as cameras are there, but they have children too. Pretty soon their house looks just like mine. And I don't even have any kids anymore. Well, my wife has one. But anyway, I think we are on a you know, live broadcast with God of House Hunter's supernatural renovation. And he's working on us. He's renovating us. Trying to get us to realize who we are and trying to get us to accept what he's designed us to be. He knows you have foundation issues. Sometimes we do. Some of us just need cleaned out from top to bottom. A lot of cobwebs. A lot of weird stuff. Some of us have plumbing issues, and some of us have electrical issues. I know it's shocking, but it's true. Some of us, yeah, I'm sorry, I couldn't resist. You know. Yeah, whatever. But God's, you know, you're God's fixer-upper, and he's trying to renovate your life. And sometimes he's knocking down walls, and you're going, but wait, I'm not sure. Like, boy, that's really open concept, God. I'm not sure I want to be that open. Yeah, you know. When I had a little kitchen in the back, I could just close that door. People could come over the house and never see those dirty dishes in the back. Exactly. And God's trying to open us up. He's trying to renovate. He's trying to change our floor plan. He's just doing things that, you know, your elevator probably doesn't go all the way to the top, but he can fix that. Right? Yeah. I saw that the other day, by the way. They're now starting to sell these little elevators for houses. It's like, they've found a way to make it cheap enough. Now people are installing elevators in their homes. So you can get from the downstairs. I don't mean the little chair that you ride up the stair. I'm talking about a real elevator. I was like, wow. What's that? Yeah, well, yeah, it'd probably work, wouldn't it? It'd probably be very descriptive of me. But anyway. So yesterday we were having lunch with John and Bree. And you know what? I should take a side note here. If you want to have lunch with Lisa and I or me or Lisa, probably a bit more fun. You want to have lunch. It's not that hard to do. Like, our church isn't so big that I couldn't have lunch with, or a meal at least, with all of you. It doesn't have to be lunch. We could do breakfast. You know, we could get together. There's not so many. Until this church is running over 1,000, I figured it out. There are more than 1,000 meals in a year. And I don't fast that much. So there's time for you to have a meal with me if you really want one. Just saying. And you don't have to pay for it. Might even get me to pay for it. I'm just a thought, you know. Am I begging you to go out to lunch with me? No, I just, you know, some people are like, well, you know, he goes out to lunch with those people. No, I'll go out to lunch with anybody. I was at lunch at McDonald's the other day. Sidetrack, bunny trail. I was having lunch in Fort Wayne, and I'm trying to just enjoy, you know, a little bit of something on the computer. And this guy walks up to me, and he goes, man, can I use your computer? I got this phone and I have to do this thing. And he was trying to explain it to me. I still don't know what he was trying to do. And he's like, well, sure, you know, I'm just having a bite to eat. And he's like, looking on YouTube at something, trying to figure out how to get his phone to work for something. And he was like 30 minutes at it. He was really intense and he never did figure it out. I kept thinking, I'm going to find a spot to jump into this man's life and talk to him about Jesus. And I really didn't get the opportunity because he was really intense. Like, I got to get this figured out. Crazy things happen. So anybody can have lunch with me is what I'm saying. You know, doesn't matter. Anyway, back to the story. We were having lunch and we were talking about lots of different stuff. We were talking about John's going to be speaking to us again sometime in the coming month. And, you know, we were just talking about different things that are going on. And I was kind of focused on him and the kids and, you know, just our meal. And we had a waitress, but I gave her my order and she went off and stuff came and I wasn't paying much attention to her at all. I really wasn't. And I'm talking to John and the waitress comes back to the table and the Lord says, look at the waitress. So I looked, and she had these really big earrings on. That was the first thing that I saw. I looked up at the waitress. I see they were highlighted to me. If you've heard us talk about this, some of you prophetic people get this more than others. You, anybody, try this at home. You can do this. All of you can do it. I looked up. I saw they just stood out to me. It was like, what? She'd come several times before that. I hadn't noticed, but then all of a sudden, these big earrings on the side of her head. They look like, I said, what's with the earrings, Lord? Why is that highlighted to me? And the Lord said, they're shields. Okay, what about shields? And I was like, and by this time she's taken off. She's gone. I don't know, my English is not right there. She's gone. And I'm like, what about the shields? And he said, she needs to know that some of the stuff she's gone through and some of the stuff she feels like she's going to go through, that I am her shield, that I will protect her. Tell her I'm her shield, that I will protect her. And so she came back to the table, and I'm like, okay. I'm kind of a prophetic guy. The Lord tells me stuff all the time. And yeah, I'll tell you what, you can't always do this with everybody, because some people will be like, oh, get away from me. But your waitress can't do that. See, she's got to stick around because she wants a tip. Always be sure to give a good tip if you're going to give a good word, too. So I always make sure I do that. And so I just shared with her what the Lord put on my heart. And she was like, wow, I needed that right now. And I thought, yes, I think I got it right. You know, doing my best not to miss, to have a hit, to say something to somebody that they need. It's a blessing. Unlike Diane, who I couldn't see her face. I couldn't tell what was happening. Here was somebody I could actually, you know, talk to, not just somebody on the other end of a phone. And who knows, Diane may be healed this day. And she may have a story someplace, and who knows what part of the world she might even be in. She seemed like she had, you know, a normal American accent. So she was probably in the 48 someplace. But she could be on the West Coast, and she could still have a testimony, you know, these couple years later, she could still have a testimony. This guy just started praying for me out of nowhere, and my shoulder got healed. Maybe that's what happened. I don't know. Maybe there was just absolutely no faith there, and because I got cut off, I couldn't see the opportunity. But it's nice to have these things happen. You know why they happen? Because the Lord's with us. That's why. The Lord's with us. These things should be part of our story. And we have a lot of stories like that. I know Julie and Lisa have prayed for people where they work. You know, they come into the doctor's office to get a healing, and instead they get a healing. That's a good thing. I know the Beths had some cool stuff happen at work. Some of you have had these neat things happen at work. By the way, can I prophesy over you now? The Lord wants to do stuff with you at work and at play and at the local play or wherever you're at. Mark always tells about doing Miss Ohio for years and years and years. He has a couple different stories where people came in. One had a bad ankle and he prayed for it. She was able to dance that night. One had a voice that was out of whack and she was able to sing that night. You know, this is what we get to do because he is in us, because we are Bethel, a house of God, and we carry what he carries. Sometimes we think that we can't do anything, but the scripture says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And remember, we just talked about this. we shouldn't question whether he's with us, because he says he's with us. So if he's with us, it's not us that's going to do it anyway. It's us that's just letting him out on the atmosphere that we're in. Some of you may remember this one, and I looked this one up and grabbed it again so I could read it to you. A friend of mine, Greg Moore, and his wife, they do like a supernatural school that they go around to different locations and do. And they used to live in Granville, Ohio, but they've moved out to Reading, and they're having a good time, and they travel around the country. In fact, around the world now, they've been going to a lot of places. And this was a story, and I just wanted to read this to you again because I want you to see how easy it is for you to do this. Like what Greg did, you can do. So listen carefully to this story, okay? Because he posted it on Facebook a couple of years ago. And this was happening, by the way, during the time when they were having fires out near Reading. Some of you remember the big chunk of Northern California was burning up and Reading was surrounded by fires. And so he put this on Facebook and he entitled it, "You Won't Believe What Happened." He said, "So today, while running errands to the hardware store, I made a stop at one of my favorite places to get a diet soda, Circle K." I didn't even know they had Circle K all the way out there. "Because they have the best crushed ice." I didn't even know there was a difference. Oh, look at this. I got crushed ice aficionados in the church right now. They're nodding their head. "It's crushed ice. Circle K." Ah, John's saying, he's poo-pooing you Circle K people, but I'm with you. I'm going to have to go get some Circle K crushed ice just to see what the story is, because I didn't know. Same as the hospital? It's hospital grade crushed ice. Okay. I'm glad they didn't get that on Facebook. Anyway, so he says, while I was walking in, I just felt the Lord nudge me with a thought to change the atmosphere in the store. Are you ready? God could use you to change the atmosphere of the store. I want you to listen to what he did. "I typically try to give at least a couple of random people a greeting and a quick, 'Hi, how are you?' when I'm out and about. You see, many people have felt depressed and fearful due to the fires in our town, and I refuse to buy into the lie of depression, anxiety, and helplessness. I was in a lower income, higher crime area. What did I do? I simply greeted everyone I saw with a very simple, positive compliment. To the young mother, feeling she needed to rush because she was trying to get to put a lid on her drink on her cup while juggling a baby and a toddler, with me waiting, I told her, 'Take your time. You have two beautiful children to juggle. You're being a great mom.' She was shocked and looked at me with a huge grin and said, 'Thank you so much. I needed that.' Was that extremely prophetic or anything? Did that take some kind of, you know, did she have to shake? 'Oh, wait, God's talking to me. Hallelujah.' He didn't do that. He just loved on her and just told her she was being a great mom. It was more prophetic than he even thought. She received it. It was powerful. I noticed other people around started to smile. One word bounced off and was ricocheting off of other people. Then a lady with weird tattoos all over the place, piercings, dark makeup, and a somewhat tattered t-shirt came up to fill her cup. I said, 'Isn't this the best crushed ice in the world?' And she replied with a straight face, 'I come to get it from my mom. She likes it.' And I said, 'Wow, you're a great daughter to do that for her. The littlest things can make a huge difference in someone's daily life, can't they?' Her face changed into a big grin, and she nodded and said, 'Yeah, I guess they can.' As I looked around, there were three other guys close by listening, as I tend to talk loud at times." That's why I like Greg. I like Greg because he's like me. I tend to talk loud. Have you noticed I tend to talk loud? Yeah. Sorry. As I looked, they all had big smiles on their faces, and I gave each guy the upward head nod as they smiled. Doing that head nod thing. I went to the stone-faced cashier, and he said, "Is that all?" Like I was bothering him. I replied, "No. I want to compliment you on how clean this store is, especially for this time of day. You're doing a great job." His eyes got big, and he stood straight up and said with a smile, "Well, thank you, sir." And I said, "No, thank you." Isn't this cool? By the way, was there anything here that anyone in this room couldn't do so far? All right. I paid, and as I walked out, I turned and looked around. Everyone I saw now had a smile, and you could feel the shift in the place from the mundane to gladness. I really felt the joy and the presence of the Lord fill the place. While leaving, the first young lady was putting her kids in her car. She made sure I saw her, and she mouthed, "Thank you." And I smiled and nodded and jumped in my car and drove all the way home with a big grin on my face. 4 hours later, still feeling the love of the Father that I felt that I was to share my experience. If we simply take time to share joy, peace, and love of Jesus in the most simplistic form, you can change atmospheres from the mundane to the joyful, from helplessness to hope, and from dark to light. And then he said, I challenge everyone to release a smile and a quick compliment. It won't only put a lift in their spirits, but it makes you feel like Jesus is saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Man, I would love to have a whole bunch of testimonies over the next few weeks as some of you went out and just shifted atmospheres in places that you were at. What if you just shifted atmospheres in places where you were at? That would be awesome. So I told you I went down to Pickerington and I got to see Steve Backlund. Some of you remember Steve and Wendy. Wendy came here and did a ladies thing for us, and Steve spoke 1 year at our church. Steve said something that went right with this all today. He said, "We are not called to be thermometers. A thermometer can tell you what the temperature is. We're not called to be thermometers. Not that we don't know what the temperature is, because every thermostat knows what the temperature is, but we're called to be thermostats because we're not just supposed to sense the temperature, but we're supposed to change the temperature. Change the atmosphere. You are thermometers sometimes when you need to be thermostats. I am sometimes a thermometer reading what's going on when I need to be a thermostat. Can I change this?" He will not leave you or forsake you. He is with you. You are the house of God. This is what you're here for. In the end, Jesus will not look and see what church you went to. He won't be looking down on people who came from Defiance and going, "Well, yeah, you're from Bethel. Now, he doesn't care what church you went to. He wants to know, are you a Bethel? Not did you go to Bethel? There are Bethels all over town. There are people who have the house of God mentality all over the place. They're ready to do what God wants them to do. And I want to challenge us to be the same, to do what God is ready for us to do. I want you, because you're not going to hear "well done" when you get before him because you went to Bethel. You're going to hear "well done" because you were Bethel, because you were a house of God. And most of us realize that the logo on this church, this Bethel, is "Be the One." As much as I think it's good for us to do things together, we take up offerings, we try to help missionaries, we do different things, we try to do things together, there's a lot we can do by ourselves. And probably the things that we would do by ourselves might open up opportunities for us to do things together that we might not otherwise be able to do. Each of us is going to hear him say, "Well done," not because we gave in the offering at a church someplace that did cool things. We're going to hear him say, "Well done," because we each did the thing that he gave us to do. So The truth is, we cannot be Bethel unless you are Bethel. And as you walk around in his presence, I believe you too will be the one to change the atmosphere.